Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Three wide receiver set for the 49ers.
It's George Kittle at the bottom.
Somehow the handoff into the arms of Mostert. He's gone. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Using the perimeter plays, man. That's something we couldn't stop. I know we should have fixed that on the sideline, but we didn't. You know, that was probably something we didn't do, but now we know. And as we go on to next year, we'll be able to fix these situations when we're in them.
That's the call on Fox Za'Darius Smith after the game. Packers getting drummed and down 27-0 at half in the NFC title game. And back from Santa Clara. And now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our Green and Gold football reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, I'm glad to know you got back. I know your body is just stuffed up with In-N-Out Burger. And now you can go and get some good food.
I didn't have one, man.
You can go get some good food at Potawatomi. Hotel, gaming, dining, spas, it's all happening at Potawatomi. Visit paysbig.com with Mike Clemens on the Fan.
So there's Za'Darius Smith, and Sparky was doing our extra coverage on the post game, and, you know, we played back that interview with Za'Darius and Preston Smith and then talked about, you know, I mean, how many times did they have to run that ball with the outside zone scheme against you guys and Mostert and before someone you make a change? And there you, and says Sparky said, I found that very interesting that Za'Darius not only says, well, we didn't make any adjustments on the sideline, and maybe those will be adjustments we make next year. And then you talk to Matt LaFleur during the presser yesterday and the season. He takes questions for over a half hour, like 30 questions, and some detailed answers. And so then you ask him about, you know, what's going on. This is, you know, the 4 or 5 hours yesterday of people thinking, wow, maybe he's not going to bring back Mike Pettine. That was all warranted when you listen to the stuff that Matt LaFleur was saying from the podium in front of an auditorium full of media.
You know, you got to give San Francisco credit. They definitely outcoached us. And I just didn't feel like we played with the same urgency, the same tenacity, the same toughness. We didn't set the edge the same as we had been earlier this season. You know, it's disappointing because it's not like we didn't know what they were going to try to do. We knew exactly what they were going to try to do. We knew they were going to run the football. For them to be able to do that was extremely disappointing. I just didn't think we played with the same effort as what I had seen earlier in the season.
The effort word, Mike, just stands out to me. And I know he ends up saying that Mike Pettine's going to come back, but the energy and effort, a game away from the NFC title or the Super Bowl, I know Bill Huber kind of just asks it and goes, wait, you guys were a game away from the Super Bowl. How do you not have the effort?
Now, I felt watching through the binoculars, you know, at the stadium, that the guys were flying around. That I thought the offensive game plan looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, three and out, I just thought they're just a play or two away from breaking this. But there's no question when you look up and all of a sudden it's 21-0, 27-0. You know, that's where the air was let out. I think that might also be what LaFleur's referring to, that, you know, it never came back in the second half. It's not like that you started coming up with turnovers or guys,
sure,
you know, flying around and all that. Now, you know, you got Tevin Coleman, who got taken out early in that tackle with Adrian Amos, and there was effort there because I saw Adrian standing back in the back of the huddle hiding because he had a pectoral injury, and he was able to get through another couple of series before the med staff said, hey, you're coming out.
Yeah.
You know, so there was effort there. LaFleur claims that he doesn't think he's going to need surgery for his pectoral. Another player that we talked about was, you know, do you think this guy will have surgery, is Rashawn Gary. Because, you know, we talk about that shoulder injury he had when he came up from Michigan. And he says, no, I don't think Rashawn is going to require surgery this year either. But then the question was, you know, Rashawn Gary showed some flashes there in the second half of the season. How do you think that Mike Pettine used him this year?
Another area where we need him on the field, and anytime you got a a first round pick with the talent level of him. He needs to be out there, and we've got to look at ways to implement him more in our scheme. And also, there's areas that I've talked to him about where he needs to improve upon in order to get out on the grass and be the consistent player that we think he can be.
Sounds to me very similar to Mike McCarthy saying, you know what, I don't know why Clay Matthews wasn't on the field on that third down.
Yep, that's exactly right.
You know, though, and there's some things that people were kind of overreacting to LaFleur saying, I don't know, we're going to make some changes and all that. McCarthy used to do that every year.
All the time, yeah. Got to get that cleaned up, Mike.
They would lose on Sunday. They get this end-of-the-season presser out of the way by Wednesday or Thursday because the media wants to follow up on, all right, your final thoughts on that game. They kind of want to write that story. But the fact is, you just spent all day Monday doing exit interviews with players. You've reviewed the film. You're trying to say goodbye to, you know, 63 players, and mm-hmm. you know, they're handing out the cards to these guys about, all right, here's what, when you come back April 20th, here's what your weight should be and all that kind of stuff. And there's still an awful lot of meetings and decisions. And now, instead of going to Ted or Brian, you know, this head coach has got to come up with a final plan and say to Mark Murphy, here's what we did wrong. Here's the changes I got to make. Here's some things I'm going to pitch to you. Here's some things I might need you to spend more money on, which includes maybe coaching turnover and all that.
Sure.
And Mark Murphy might have an opinion on this. So it's still a fluid situation. But the guy feels compelled to, you know, get the press conference out of the way within a couple of days of the last game. Even, and the other thing is, too, they like to sort of put it out there, and then they'll make the decisions. And then the doors are closed, and they don't have to answer them right away. It's like, well, why'd you let that guy go?
Right.
You
know? Mike Clemens joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, courtesy of Pottawatomie. Mike, Matt LaFleur is just so open and honest, and I loved his answer and his analysis of talking about the differences between the Rams offense, the Niners offense that we just saw, and his, because while they can all be disciples of each other, they are going to put their own spins on different offenses.
Well, one of the things that's missing is, you know, that I saw in OTAs and mini camps, and then it started to trail off during training camp, is what about the hurry up offense? The, you know, break the huddle quickly, run up to the line, snap, like you see a Sean McVay mm-hmm. last year on their way to the Super Bowl. Like you saw the 49ers pull off a couple of times. Or just the fact that the 49ers had Garoppolo. He only needed to throw the ball 8 times. He's under center. He comes back. He's running the misdirection. And so LaFleur was said, you know, should this offense more look like what the Rams or the 49ers do?
Well, I think Kyle and Sean are two drastically different offenses when you look at them. So it's all about catering to your personnel. That's what you have to do as a coach. You've got to adjust. And I know we want to implement some more up-tempo offense. We'd like to get that. We never really got that going this year. It'll be a busy offseason. What I'm excited for is to really not only study yourself, but that gives you an opportunity to study what else is going on around the league.
And he's also going to be able to study his quarterback and see how much better he thinks maybe Aaron Rodgers can be in an offseason with Matt LaFleur. The other part of this that's fascinating, Mike, this guy hasn't had an offseason with the same team since that Atlanta team that went to the Super Bowl.
Matt LaFleur, yeah. I mean, including last year, just 1 year with the Titans. But, you know, you get back to the tempo of the offense thing, which was an important factor that LaFleur stressed when he came in here a year ago at this time. And so why is the game clock getting down to the last few seconds? It's because the quarterback is moving people around and, you know, he's making pre-snap reads and he's maybe making an adjustment and he's setting them up for good plays that the, you know, the rookie coach says, all right, you know, that was a great call. Yeah, we got something out of it. But at the same time, you've got all 11 and they have to get in that tempo and that rhythm. And the idea is to get the defense on their heels. And I thought this was really interesting to hear from LaFleur about how can Aaron Rodgers personally improve and grow in this offense in 2020?
Being comfortable with some of the uncomfortable things that we've asked him to do. And, you know, I do think he was open-minded, and I appreciate that because certainly we asked him to play under center more than he has, especially in the, you know, more recent years. I thought he executed for the most part at a pretty high level, and I know the numbers weren't what you guys say were up to the standard or whatever, but I do think there was some really good play in there. I'm excited about moving forward into the future, really getting another offseason with him.
So even though Aaron Jones had a great year, okay, the fact of the matter is, this is the thing that I thought I was seeing, was why isn't Rodgers under center? Because if you're not under center, then you can't do the thing that I saw them teaching Rodgers and the other quarterbacks, that you take the snap, you turn, and then you bend over, and you tuck that ball deep into your belly, and you take a couple steps back, and you reach back to that first halfback.
Yes.
And almost like draw fashion. Or you fake to him, and then you stick the ball out because you got a jet sweep coming around. Or you got a fullback or some other, maybe a tight end, somebody that you could do the toss from. And I saw Aaron Rodgers completely have to change his footwork and his style of running the football all through the spring and halfway through training camp. You get halfway through the season, and they're not doing it anymore. They did it on that one big scoring drive against the Bears, but they were getting away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and it's because, as he says, well, you know, the veteran quarterback's got to be comfortable with it. Well, if they want to look at like as fast as what Kyle Shanahan's pitching to people, they're going to have to make those kinds of changes.
Mike, you think Mercedes Lewis is back next year?
No.
that was quick.
No.
No.
I think Jimmy Graham is gone. I think Mercedes Lewis is gone. I think Brian Bulaga is gone.
Although, Mike, Brian Bulaga too?
I don't know what they're going to replace him with.
Sure.
Well, ask T.J. Lang or Josh Sitton how this all worked out.
That's very true.
Yeah, but this is different. With all due respect to both of those guys, Rodgers and Bakhtiari have been lobbying for Bulaga all year long. This
well, they
is
don't
not
have anybody to back him up yet.
I understand. But there also is no Ted Thompson making this decision. And I just find it hard to believe that this general manager is going to feel comfortable walking into training camp and into that locker room with a rookie right tackle and having Rodgers, Bakhtiari, and everybody else on offense looking at him.
Can he pull off another Billy Turner? Can he get a 26-year-old from some other team somewhere and pay him some money? I don't know. The first thing he's got to do is sign Kenny Clark.
Yep, watch out for Jake Conklin from Tennessee.
But I'll tell you what, man, Mercedes Lewis didn't talk a lot this year, you know, kept it low. But when he did talk, he's always been straightforward. When he talked last year out of Green Bay and you thought, oh, this guy doesn't think he's coming back.
Right.
He didn't think he was coming back. Remember those clips we played with him and Martellus Bennett?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ask him straightforward. So, after this past year, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers as a teammate? And I tell you what, he nailed it. Listen to this.
You know how he is. Like, he's not a big rah-rah guy. He's going to lead by example. He doesn't walk in here with a chip on his shoulder, even though he's, you know, been MVP a couple times and won a Super Bowl. You don't get that out of him. You know, he's a guy that wants to get better, wants to be great every day. And what more could you want from a guy that's been in the league for that long?
And that guy's been in the league, and he's been able to see some dudes play at a very, very poor level and a guy to play at a very, very high level and a lot in between, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so no BS from that guy. He's very straightforward. I think it's a very fair and accurate assessment of what it's like being in that locker room with Aaron Rodgers.
Mike, I appreciate all the work you've done. We really thank you for all the great stuff you've brought us all year long from up there at the locker room. Now go and go get some sleep. Go get some hibernation.
That sleep is for wimps.
I'm coming from
the damn Super Bowl next week, and we'll talk about that. By the way, there's a former Packer with the Chiefs. He's in the Super Bowl now. How's that working out for you?
No kidding, right? There we go. That's Mike Clemens. Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye.
That's Mike Clemens joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He will be heading down to the Super Bowl with Bill Michaels, and I'll be going and meeting Bill Michaels here in a couple of minutes at the New Berlin Ale House here on 105.7 FM The Fan for the Bud Light Huddle. We'll wrap things up next, but first, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with Robert's Specialty Meats.
That's right, Robert's Specialty Meats. Winter weather means a desire for comfort food on your family's dinner table at the end of the day, and nobody does comfort food better than Robert's Specialty Meats. Paul Roberts has lots of options to make dinner time the best time of day, starting with one of his stuffed pork roasts, like the legendary Al Capone roast, combining several meats, cheeses, and seasonings all wrapped up into one awesome meal, which can be trimmed to suit your needs. You'll also find stuffed chicken breasts like the Door County Cherry, just oozing with that real cherry flavor. The best ground round for chili, plus over 30 varieties of original sausages and brats from mild to hot. Call Robert Specialty Meats today at 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT. For the best selection to reserve your order, when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood Smoked Beef Sticks or Jerky, the ideal snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, there's only one place. Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.